بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات، وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات، وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات، وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات، وتبلغنا بها قصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. A question is only half of knowledge. The statement is a declaration of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is therefore important that one should constantly inquire about one's dini matters. To merely plod along without being aware of whether what one is doing is correct or not, or to merely assume without knowledge that everything is fine, is very dangerous indeed. It is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Qur'an al-Kareem, ask those of knowledge if you do not know. Many questions are of such a nature that they apply to numerous people. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, wa salamu ala man ittaba al-huda, and good evening to our non-Muslim listeners. We would like to welcome you to this Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. Well, this program is sponsored or is brought to you by Simmons. I'm Hussein Wadi. Our technical engineer this evening is Brother Altaf Suleiman. And we also have with us Brother Abdul Qadir from Azam Khan and Hafiz Muhammad Jina. 8:38 this evening, once again, we are going to be joined by one of the outstanding scholars of Sharia, that is Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahib Hafizahullah. And inshallah, we will try and Hazrat Mufti Sahib will try and answer the questions that had come through. For this evening's program, we will not be taking any calls until and unless we have completed all the questions that have come in so far. So inshallah, after that, if time permits, then we will announce and then you could call in with your questions. In the meanwhile, if you would like to SMS your questions, then only you may do so, but we cannot promise you that your questions will be answered this evening. The cell number for you to SMS your questions is on 082-644-7866. 082-644-7866. I would also like to give you the telephone numbers for the organizations like the Islamic Crisis Call Center. Last week or the week before, we had received many SMSs with many sisters having many problems, especially marital problems. Well, in Durban, you could call the Islamic Crisis Call Center. It's a 24-hour number. You could call them on 0861-786-400. The Islamic Crisis Call Center on 0861-786-400. If you're in the Chatsworth area, then you could contact the Chatsworth Ulama Council, Maulana Abdul Rahman Khan Sahib, on 407061 during office hours. The Chatsworth Ulama Council, if you do have a problem, you could contact Maulana Abdul Rahman Khan on 407061 during office hours. If we're looking at Pietermaritzburg, then we are looking at the gift of the givers. That's Waqful Waqifin. You could contact them on 033 3450163. If you're in the Peter Maritzburg area, then you can contact Gift of the Givers, that's Waqful Waqifin, on 033-345-0163 or 345-0175. Once again, if you have any problems, then you could contact the Islamic Crisis Call Center. That's right here in Durban, 437 Smith Street, Escoville House, 501, on 0861-786-400. If you're in the Chatsworth area, then the number for you to note down is 400-7061. If you're in Peter Maritzburg, then the Gift of the Givers on 033-345-0163. Or you may contact your nearest Jamiat offices in whichever area that you're in. Right now, it's 8:45. This evening's program is brought to you by Simmons. Without taking any more time, we would like to welcome onto our Make Up Your Mind Q&A program Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahab Hafizahullah. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
How is Hazrat Mufti Sahab this evening?
Alhamdulillah.
Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Jazakallah for consenting to do the Q&A at this part of the evening. It is a great honor and pleasure for us to have you onto our program, and Alhamdulillah, you have made a very great contribution to our Q&A program. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, to begin with this evening's Make Up Your Mind Q&A session, we're just going to take a question or a caller that had called in the previous program, that was actually halal.com, with regard to a query about the number 786. Does that have any place, any meaning, any does it symbolize anything?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As far as this numerical figure 786, they have attributed it to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, in the Arabic alphabet, every alphabet has got a numerical value. And in the Kitabs of Amaliyat, you find in the Muqaddama, in the prefaces, the Arabic alphabet together with the equivalent numerical value. So some, what they have done, they have added up Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, giving it a numerical value 786. However, remember clearly that this 786 is not equal to, it is not a substitute, it is not equivalent to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And people have got a notion that we cannot write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim on the pieces of paper or letters, etc. But if we study even Quran al-Kareem, that when Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam communicated with Bilqis, he wrote Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, knowing fully well that this was going at that time to those who were prostrating to the sun and were ascribing partners to Allah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even wrote Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the numerous letters that he wrote to the kings and the governors and the rulers of the neighboring states around the Muslim empire. But we have developed a notion that you cannot write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, therefore write one substitute 786. So, as I've explained, that there is no harm in writing Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and 786 is not a perfect, adequate, equivalent substitute for Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Moving on to our second question or second query. If a man takes a second wife without the permission of the first wife, is this nikah valid? Hazrat Mufti Sahab, by the way, I think last week I mentioned to Hazrat Mufti Sahab that we had about 40 or 45 questions, and many of them have been pertaining mainly to nikah, to talaq, and a few other issues. So on this issue, quite a few have already SMS'd.
As far as a person taking a second wife, see, as far as the text is concerned, and the classical works are concerned, that the husband does not require the permission of the first wife to take the second, or the second to take the third. Or if he's taking four wives, he does not have to take the permission of the three wives and then take the fourth wife. That is the text, that is the ruling. However, we advise for harmony and cooperation and future good living that he should inform his first wife and try as best as possible to take permission from the first wife in order for a smooth flowing living with the second wife. If he takes a second wife, it will be valid, it will be permissible, it is jais. But if he does not inform his first wife, there is going to be difficulty and discord, fighting, quarreling. Also, the Shariat of Islam wants the person that he takes a wife to make elan of it, to announce it. That is why the best place for the nikah is the masjid. Why? The musallis will come to know that so-and-so is married to so-and-so. Now that girl is married, the female is occupied. And the man also, when he is seen with that lady, he knows this is the wife. And he is legally married. So if the person does not make an announcement, and pronouncement, an elan of his second wife, then there will be suspicion, and she'll come to know, the first wife will come to know, and after that, then you have to go to crisis center.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, something that's also very common, we do understand Mufti Sahib says, you know, you have to make these announcements and pronouncements. But with many of the cases that we come across, there is lots of fear that marriages will break up in the event if a husband has to take on another wife. This is something that has been quite common, something that we have come across, especially with our radio experience over, you know, the past 7 or 8 years.
I repeat and reiterate that the person should make elan of it and pronounce it. If he is going to take a second wife and treat her like a mistress, then as soon as it comes to the light, there will be a lot of difficulties, and then there is going to be fire and flames and smoke and fighting. So we are very clear on this point. If you want to take a second wife, be bold enough to announce it. Do not treat your second wife like a spare tire or a mistress and hide it and cover it up. This is not conducive to proper Islamic environment and upbringing.
JazakAllah, shukran for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Moving on to our next question. I think this is also a common question. The sister wants to know that, actually, can a lady read Jummah Sada following the radio station, Radio Al Ansar, or can anyone read the Sada following any radio station, be it Radio Al Ansar, be it Radio Islam, or any other radio station? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
The Salat will not be valid, because there is no wahdat makan, meaning there is no unity of place, and there is no continuation of saf. And also, that if that was the case, in fact, I had a very strange experience one day. Some people invited me to follow the Haram Imam while he was performing the Zohr and Asr in Masjid al-Namira. And they were thousands and thousands of kilometers away, and they wanted to follow that Imam via the television. So that is definitely not on. It is not permissible. It is not valid. And in fact, it is stupidity to try to follow the Imam of any Salat via the radio where there is no continuity of Saf.
JazakAllah for answering that question. Also, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, moving on to question number 4 for this evening. This is pertaining to Talaq again. If Talaq was given 3 times by being influenced by someone and hence in error, is it valid? What happens if the couple continue to live as a married couple and disregard the validity of the talaq because it was not said with intent? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
Talaq issued does not require intention. Talaq issued once, twice, thrice will fall, and the person says he made an error by being influenced by someone. If he realizes the things carefully, that why in the first place he listened to someone, then why did he divorce his wife? and why he was influenced by someone. So when you look carefully, it's not an error. He took advice and he took mashwara from someone. Now he is regretful and he is interpreting regret as an error and a mistake. And now he's trying to say he is not divorced. So the divorce has taken place, the divorce has occurred, that lady is not his wife anymore. And if he continues to live with that woman, that is a major sin, incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is living with an absolute stranger, and he is committing adultery now, and there is no legality of their unionship, and the issues that come out now will be illegal, illegitimate.
Jazakallah, Zad Mufti Saab, for that. 8:51. This evening's program is brought to you by Simmons. Our next question, Hazrat Mufti Saab, is it okay, is it permissible to make nikah for sexual reasons only? Hazrat Mufti Saab?
It is absolutely permissible to do so. And this is when they classify it as leading towards faras. Because if a person is a bachelor, he is unmarried, and now, and he is looking at the environment and seeing everything that is going around him, he feels in his heart that if he does not get married, he is going to sin, and he is going to commit adultery or fornication. Then for that person, in order for him not to commit adultery or fornication, and he cannot control himself, he's got no discipline over his passions and lust, and he's got no discipline over his mind and heart and body and soul and blood, then for that person it becomes, in the eyes of Sharia, faraz, obligatory for him to get married and satisfy himself and fulfill his basic instincts and desires.
Hazrat Mufti Saab, actually the second part of the SMS has just come in with that question. It says that this girl, she does not want to be involved in zina, and they actually say that they are not even in love. So this is the only reason. So that is fine, Hazrat Mufti Sir.
Yes.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sir. 8:53. I think we are moving on to question number 5 for this evening. And this question reads as follows, Hazrat Mufti Sir. I attend a masjid that performs Fajr Salah at 5:15 a.m. during winter. A Maulana told me that I will have to perform qaza for my salah because it's performed at the Tahajjud time. The reason being for performing salah so early is that one of the musallis leave for work. Please help. Now, Hazrat Mufti Saab, I'm sure this person who has sent us this SMS, we are looking at the sunrise time for Durban. Like for this morning, sunrise was around 6:52. Fajr, according to the perpetual timetable I have here, says 5:27. Seri is 5:22. Hazrat Mufti Sir?
What Seri ends?
Seri ends at 5:22.
5:22, right. Same. So they cannot perform Fajr 5:15 day. Definitely. Understand something. That Seri ends, three things end one time. Time of Seri ends, time of Isha ends, time of Tahajjud ends. And if you want to just include, time of Witr ends. So four things end at one time. Seri ends, Isha time ends, Tahajjud time ends, time of Witr ends. Now you have stated 5:22, after that, the time of Fajr has set in. So if that masjid is performing Fajr Salat at 5:15, they are performing Fajr Salat in Isha time. And they are performing a Salat which is not valid now. In fact, this is a very serious issue. And this is very, very serious, because if they are doing it and have been doing it, let alone the Imam, all the Musallis in that masjid will have to repeat their Faraz, Fajr, for all the time they have been performing Fajr during Isha time. This matter is very serious nature, and if a person was Sahib a Tartib, it's going to affect him. And those people who are regular in Salat, they should know clearly their Salat of Fajr is not valid because the time of Fajr has not set in, has not occurred. So they should take action. And for one person, they are doing an absolute wrong thing and contravening a basic thing in Sharia.
Well, let's hope that the person that has sent us this SMS, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, is listening to this program. And I think we suggest to this brother that perhaps he bring this to the notice of the Jamiat. So, inshallah, the Jamiat could be in touch with the Imam and they could sort this issue out immediately before performing the next Fajr during the incorrect time. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, moving on to question number 6. Can a Muslim girl take veterinary science as a career?
In our environment, we are very clear about it, that because of our environment, and because of the fitna and the fasad out there, and because of intermingling of sexes, and because of so-called thrust now in gender equality, the Muslim female should preserve her dignity, honor, status, position. The Muslim female should protect her chastity, protect her izzat, and should remain in the confines of the home, educating herself and her children. We are very clear about this, that our environment in South Africa is not conducive for females to go out into business places or become doctors, lawyers, whatever it is, and for whatever so-called reasons people are giving. And I, as a Mufti, cannot sanction that our females be taken into environments of kufr, shirk, and immorality and immodesty. I, as a Mufti, cannot state that the laws of farda and hijab must be discarded for secular education. I, as a Mufti, cannot contravene the Quran and Hadith, which is instructing the ladies to adorn the hijab and leave the laws of Allah and be with the secular people and say, no, that is permissible. We are very clear about it, that they should safeguard their dignity and stay in their confines of their homes.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. 8:57. If you have any further queries on any of the questions that have already been answered by Hazrat Mufti Sahib, then you could email Hazrat Mufti Sahib on it's Mufti, M-U-F-T-I-E, at alislam.co.za. I will repeat this. I know there have been many requests, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Many of the listeners have SMS that they wanted Hazrat Mufti Sahib's number, but for now we are giving you the email details if you would like to correspond with Hazrat Mufti Sahib. It's M-U-F-T-I-E at alislam.co.za. That's going to be small caps. I think, inshallah, after the next question, we are going to be taking a commercial break. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the next question, is it permissible to sign an ANC with your wife after nikah, the ANC contract?
ANC contract, for those who do not know, is an anti-nuptial contract. It has got nothing to do with any political party. In Islam, the ANC contract minus the equerial system is the permissible and valid one in the eyes of Sharia. By signing an ANC anti-nuptial contract minus the equerial system will allow one to distribute the estate as per Islamic law and rights. If a person is married in nuptial contract, which means basically what's the wife's is the wife's and what's the husband, what's the wife's is also the husband's and what's the husband is also the wife's in a nuptial contract, that is un-Islamic. ANC minus the equerial system means what is the wife's is the wife's and what is the husband's is the husband's. So you can sign it after your nikah performance. It is valid, permissible.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. The next question or the next query that we have, it says, I live with my mother-in-law. I do everything possible for her when she gets moody, she makes a mountain out of a molehill, and it's becoming a problem between my husband and myself. I am desperate. Please help. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, once again, there have been, I think, about 5 or 6 SMSs similar to this one that we have received.
As far as this is a common situation, in fact, they should have some ulama ikram addressing this issue at length in detail in other programs. In this question and answer session and the following one, I'm trying to answer very briefly and shortly,
James,
so that we can cover a lot of questions as much as we can. However, here, if the situation is correct as she is stating, then the husband is at fault. The husband should wear the pants and control the issue. And he should draw the line between the wife's rights and the husband and the mother's respect and honor. And he should address this issue and bring some amicable solution. The husband is the one the wife should talk to and address the issue seriously with. And she currently should make sabr and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her husband the ability to see what is happening. Otherwise, unfortunately, there is going to result in a divorce.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for that. The next question reads as follows. Who are the Salafi people? What is the difference between them and the Muqallideen? Just as the four mazhabs differ, so do they. Can Hazrat Mufti Sahib kindly explain this?
This is a very lengthy topic and requires minimum 10-15 minutes, but I'll try to be very, very brief.
Brief, inshallah.
Those who are really interested in this topic can go to my website, alislam.co.za. Two books I have written on this. One is Taqleed Made Easy, and the second one is Why Follow One Imam of Fiqh. You read those books, sufficient. However, for the listeners, that Salafi these days, and technically it means those who follow the pious predecessors. And in those days, Salafi was a good word, meaning those who are following the Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. These days, this word Salafi does not mean as used previously. These days, it refers to the ghair mukallid, those who do not follow any mazhab, in fact, la mazhab. They do not want to follow either Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi. Now, they feel they can interpret Shariat as how they want to. They, for example, classify themselves as Al-Hadith, and they say they are followers of the Hadith. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Hunya, has written about Al-Hadith. So we should not confuse what Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, stated about the Al-Hadith in Hunya. He is talking of the original Al-Hadith, which are confining and themselves to the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given glad tidings to the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, not Ahl-Hadith or Salafi or Ghair Muqallid or these people who are not adhering to any mazhab. Shah Waliullah Delhi rahmatullah alayhi has stated clearly that in this age it is necessary for us to be Muqallid meaning to either follow in totality either one of the four illustrious imams of jurisprudence, fiqh, because they are the interpreters, valid, reliable, pious, righteous interpreters of deen who have understood the deen. And these Salafis, Ghair Muqallids, Al-Hadith, all meaning one and the same thing, they are misled and misleading. They are not from the Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, and they should not be followed. They are the ones who are saying things like what the Shias are saying, that three talaqs is equal to one. They are not interested in performing 20 rakats of salah, of Taraweeh. They want to perform 8 and now 12. And they are even trying to legalize a temporary marriage. And they've got their own rules. In fact, they are the ones who are saying we must not follow the four mazhabs or either one of the four, but they themselves follow their own molanas and make taqleed of their own molanas and their own so-called scholars of Islam. They are more muqallid, but they are following those who are not regarded as imams of mujtahid. They are not following the great illustrious scholars of Islam.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. The next SMS that we have received reads as follows, that I was told that to donate blood is seen as being wrong Islamically. Is this correct, Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
It is permissible to donate blood. provided they do not sell that blood per se. If they charge for administration costs, etc., causes, that is different.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, just to add to that question, organ donation, what is the Islamic viewpoint on that?
As far as we are concerned, the organ donation, according to the Peak Academy of India, where over 600 Muftis met and deliberated on this issue, they have come to a conclusion that if it is a life-supporting, life-saving organ, is a dire necessity organ, then it will be permissible to receive or donate organ.
Right now you are listening to Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. As I have mentioned earlier, that if you have any further queries to the questions that Hazrat Mufti Sahib has answered, then inshallah you could email Hazrat Mufti Sahib and inshallah Hazrat Mufti Sahib could clarify whatever issues that you have. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, moving on to the next question, it says, my friend got divorced in the English way. Does his nikah also break? Can he get back with her, or has she got to get married and divorced? Hazrat Mufti Sahib,
this person should SMS you again.
Yes.
And clarify the point, what he means by English way. If there was a court ruling, for example, the wife applied for divorce and the court ruled that yes, she is divorced, then that is not valid, that is not reliable, she is still his wife. So he should explain to you via SMS, etc., what he means by English way. Then we can elaborate.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. To our listeners, we are not taking any calls right now because we already have many questions, and inshallah, as soon as Hazrat Mufti Sahib has answered these questions, time permitting, then inshallah the lines will be open. But in the meanwhile, if you like, you could SMS your questions on 082-644-7866. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the next question. Is it permissible to buy and sell US dollars? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
You sell it anyway. Next.
It's plain and simple. JazakAllah. The next question, Salams, please inform me on the topic of reincarnation.
Reincarnation is the belief of the Hindus. They feel that, they call it in their language, Aga Gavan. Aga Gavan is the Sanskrit word for reincarnation. They say that a person dies, and when he dies, generally if they have to burn that person, then they will take the ashes and they'll place it on a tray outside the home of the person. And the next morning they will try to see that that ashes has got an imprint or not. If it's got an imprint, then they will try to interpret it and take it to their local scholars to have it interpreted, that is this a footprint of an animal or a human being. If it's a footprint of an animal, they say this person's soul has degraded and this person has gone downwards. And if it is of a man, etc., it's gone upwards. So they say this transmission of the soul from one body to another, as far as we are concerned, this is not logical, not even philosophically reasonable, it's not tangible, and it is batil, false. We are very clear that it is an un-Islamic concept. We say that when our souls are taken away, it either goes to Iliyin or Sijiyin for registration. Thereafter, it is linked back to the body for the life of the Alam-e-Barzakh, Alam-e-Grave, the realm of the grave.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. 13 minutes past 9, alhamdulillah, I see already 11 new messages have come. But inshallah, once we finish the SMSs that we received last week, then we will move on to the new SMSs. The next SMS, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, says, who should buy the walima outfit for a bride? Hazrat Mufti Sahib, this is also a very common question. This is something that's happening all the time when it comes to weddings and also to walimas. Who should be buying the outfit? Who should be paying for this? Who should be paying the imam? And all those things. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, perhaps if you can enlighten us on this.
as far as we'll take it from your last statement, who should be paying the imam, don't pay the imam. If the imam is charging you for performing nikah, then go to someone else and let someone else perform the nikah free of charge. Imam should not be charging for performance of nikah. And also, a person when he goes in a particular masjid where he's going to have his nikah performed, then it is not necessary to have separate envelopes, one for the imam and one for the muezzin, and one for the imam's grandfather, the other one for the muezzin's grandmother, and then one for the masjid, and one for the madrasa, and one for the burial society. All that is un-Islamic, in a team free of charge. He is under his custodianship, his responsibility. So,
Allah for
the, all that is happening is the boy.
For that, Hazrat Mufti sir, the next we have, I have noticed that at home, for many stand and have idle chat and cell phones and everything, Hazrat Mufti sir, besides at the Mayat house, if you're looking in the Qabristans, I know mainly I can speak for Durban and for Pietermaritzburg, this is also very common. Mufti sir, perhaps if you would like to comment on this?
First of all, unfortunately, we regard going to the Mayat house as a fashion parade. If you just have to sit down and look what's going on at the Mayat house, and unfortunately, the ladies come in dressed atrociously, and they think they're attending a wedding also. And the men, unfortunately, stand outside in groups, gossiping, smoking, laughing, cackling, and discussing about the rand-dollar exchange, answering cell phones and screaming and shouting. There is no respect left for the mayor's house or for those who are bereaved and sorrowful and experiencing grief. There is an utter breakdown in this social responsibility of the Muslims. We should realize something. The person has passed away, our turn is coming sooner or later. And who knows, whilst going to the graveyard, we may die. Worse is, let alone in your areas, in our areas also, that unfortunately, whilst the cover has been filled with sand, etc., the people stand around and gossip, laugh, cackle, and backbite and do the last verbal discussion they want to do. This is no place for all the vain activities to be taking place. Person should remember death, make zikr of Allah, recite Quran al-Kareem, pass it on to the deceased, and think about the fact that we are going to sooner or later go into that grave also. So this, in fact, some alim who is listening should write some leaflet on it or pamphlet about it and write it very sternly and firmly and strongly and even post it on the net and let people read it, that this has gone out of control, totally out of control.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, moving on to our next SMS. This SMS reads as follows. I know of people who read the 5-time salah, read the Quran, but they mind everyone's business, gossip about everybody and about everybody and everything, and also treat people badly, but everything works out for them in everything. And one more thing, they have a lot of pride and they show off with their wealth and so on. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, this is also another very common question. I think we have answered this in the past broadcast, but it has come up again.
There are three issues. Yeah, one is the person performing salah and also, alhamdulillah, trying to conform to the sharia. And the second issue is that he is not a good person, does not have a good personality and character, and thirdly, he's got a lot of pride. Then he's also making a lot of money. How come so? First of all, they are all different issues. But he will get rewarded for the good actions that he is doing. That is performing salat, reading Quran, making zikr. All those things he'll get rewarded for. And the person should not worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting him a rope. The person who sees this and is perturbed, then how come this person was so arrogant and full of pride and stupidity, and this person here is walking on the earth as if to say he's the big king, then how come he's getting so much of wealth? We should not worry about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him a rope. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sooner or later will tighten it. Question arises, we see these people who are performing salat and are still arrogant and full of pride, and they die away in this condition with all their wealth. this is worse for them, because they have been hankering after the world, they are running after the dunya, and they were not able to spend it. Others are going to now lavish on it, and they are going to spend it. Meanwhile, that person, he dies like a pauper. Another point, most of the people, unfortunately, these days, who live in mansions and who have got flashy cars, believe you, their elastics or their jockeys belong to the bank manager. Because, unfortunately, they are steeped in the OD and higher purchase. So, we should not be worried about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested them far more than you think. They do not even sleep in peace. We sleep in peace. However, those who have got wealth and they are arrogant and full of pride should take heed that the public is also not happy with them. And they are also the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who is blessed with wealth and also going for salah should look where he is getting his wealth and also become humble and become soft-hearted and generous and hospitable to the society at large and not become arrogant. So from all angles, we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise and Allah knows what He's doing.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Saab. The next SMS we have, Mufti Saab, is I think in about 4 or 5 parts. Inshallah, we're going to try our best to go through this SMS. It says that my husband and I are separated. When I was 4 months pregnant, we were happily married for 7 months till a non-Muslim schoolgirl broke up our marriage while pregnant. I should get very sick and we should fight a lot because I'm sick and he's not there for me. He comes home late. He has not supported me through the 5 months of my pregnancy or when I was giving birth. My daughter is now 10 months. No support from him or his family. He chooses not to see me or his daughter. My parents and brother takes care of me and my child. Although my husband is very wealthy, he broke every promise he ever made to me. We are not living together for 15 months. He has not given me talaq. Separated so long, are we still married? Then she also says, I make dua Allah grants me sabr. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
We also make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her sabr. The marriage is still intact. And the person, the husband, if what she is saying, remember, I, as a person who is listening, I will only reply on what I'm hearing. And I do not know the second side, or I do not know what is the reality. So whatever I've been told and whatever I hear, I reply on that. She is being ill-treated. Her husband is earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by treating her like this. And if the husband does not repent, then sooner or later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take him to task. This person here, he is wealthy and he's treating this lady like this, is not becoming of him. She at the moment should make sabr and she should go to these crisis centers that you have been mentioning so they can address her issue and they can call that husband out for questioning and for reconciliation, a proper reconciliation. This person here, he is a transgressor, an evildoer, a fasik and a fajr if he is behaving in that manner. And he is deserving of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's supposed to be with his wife, supporting his wife and his child. And at this moment, when they require him most, he is not around, and especially because of some other woman, worse still, not a Muslim, he is invoking and provoking the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah. You have been listening to our learned scholar of Sharia, an outstanding scholar who is also on Radio Islam for the Q&A session or the section of the program, who is an author of many books, couple of hundred books. And inshallah, towards the end of the program, we will ask our learned scholar to perhaps tell us about the latest publications or translations that have been made available. Moving on to our next SMS that we have received, can I pay zakat on behalf of my wife and minor children who possess more than the nisab amount from my personal money, thereby not reducing their assets or their monies? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
this question, yeah, sure, the answer you should listen carefully, because first of all, zakat on behalf of your wife and zakat on behalf of minor children. Minor children, they, if they are sahib and nisab, they do not have to pay zakat. I reiterate that minor children, if they have wealth which is above zakat nisab, then they do not have to pay zakat. Minor children can receive zakat, but zakat is not wajib upon them to give. So that is one masala. Second one, that let's say the wife, if he wants to give her zakat, then he should inform her that I am paying zakat on your behalf. First of all, they should calculate that how much zakat she is liable for, how much zakat she has to give. Then he can take permission from her and give zakat from his money on her behalf that is valid, permissible, rewardable. If he's got mature children, not minor, mature children, baligh children, and they also require to give zakat, he, if he wants to pay from his assets, then he has to inform them of what he is doing. This law also applies to sadqatul fitr.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Moving on to the next SMS. It says about earlier topic. I think this was the Q&A that we did a couple of weeks ago. It says, what do you say about the many hadiths that contradict each other and the questionable character of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu an as detailed in hadith? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
This is a Shia fellow talking here. Unfortunately, he tried to run down Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Allama Khalid Mahmud, Damat Barakatuh, has written a lengthy book on Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Shias, in fact, Khomeini, etc., have written ill about Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Qazi Shuray radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And why they are targeting Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Because he is that Sahabi who narrates the maximum amount of ahadithes according to the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. So if you try to knock down the personality and integrity and dignity and status and position of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the field and in the science of ahadith, that means you are trying to knock down the whole superstructure of hadith science as far as the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat is concerned. That is why this person who is sending the SMS is a hidden Shia, in fact not a hidden Shia, is an open Shia trying to knock down the Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Don't you read that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu's memory, and alhamdulillah that it was par excellent. And now Professor Maulana Muhammad Hamidullah Rahmatullah alayhi of Paris, he has written a kitab compiling the ahadiths compiled by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it has come onto the academic market, defending also the status of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we can see from that compilation the retentive memory of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There is nothing written against Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu from the scholars of the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. The firqa, the deviated groups, they write blasphemous statements against the good personality and lofty character of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We should identify them, and we should know that these are the enemies of Islam, the foes of Islam, and not well-wishers of Islam.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib.